Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
What makes it so hard is not that you had it bad, but that you're
totally overwhelmed.
Life has thrown us a few surprises.
We're always either in between it or going through it, right?
What if this is as good as it gets?
I'm Jim Burns. It's amazing to me how many people who have decided to be Christ followers actually believe that their lives are going to be easy and fun-filled all the time. I mean, the reality is life is hard, and every one of us is going to experience a bit of difficulty from time to time. During those moments when the trials seem endless, it's important to keep the right perspective no matter how difficult your circumstances may be. On today's edition of Homeward, author Stan Jantz joins me once again here in studio for a conversation about finding hope when life doesn't seem fair. If that describes your situation right now and your circumstances seem way beyond your control through no fault of your own, stay with us. We've got some encouraging things to share with you today on Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. In just a moment, part two of Jim's two-part conversation with author Stan Jantz. Stan and his co-author Bruce Bickle have written a book called God is in the Hard Stuff, and Stan's having a conversation with us here on finding hope when life doesn't seem fair. You know what is fair is the fact that we as a nonprofit organization and a parachurch ministry can come to you and say we are able to take your tax-deductible donations and turn them into broadcast materials, seminars, books, and tools that really equip and help parents and marriages grow strong. We appreciate your faithful financial support. Later on in the program, we'll give you more information on how you can partner with us financially as well. And now with part one of today's broadcast, though, here's Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. We're going to continue our conversation with Stan Jantz. We're talking about finding hope when life doesn't seem fair. Great program last time as we just deal with the fact that bad things happen to good people. And it's just the way it's going to be. And many of us do struggle and suffer. And Stan Jantz is with us. He's a best-selling author. He and Bruce Bickle have over 3 million copies of their popular series, The Bruce and Stan's Guide to Books, influencing and helping people in a big way. Stan lives in Southern California. Great to have you back on our program, Stan.
It's great to be back. I'm glad you, it went okay that you had me back another time. So.
Absolutely. Well, you know what's interesting? We were talking about this before you came on. A friend of mine is a pastor, and he says that when he speaks on suffering or on hard times, he gets an incredible response. Mm-hmm. Well, all of us suffer, and all of us have hard times. I think sometimes we think that the people next to us in the pew or at business or in the next desk over don't have issues, but frankly, everybody suffers, don't they?
Everybody suffers, and I think it's pretty safe to say that any given moment in the circle of your immediate influence, meaning right. those who are listening, whether it's your family, your friends, your coworkers, there is suffering going on right now. You may be okay. You know, we're always either in between it or going through it, yeah. right? You know, but part of what we did in this book, God is in the Hard Stuff, is not only to address those issues that we may deal with, and we tried to cover in 41 chapters, different aspects that can come up, whether it's, you know, financial difficulty, whether it's losing a child, whether it's a marriage, whatever it might be. But we also want this to be a resource for people that, you know what, as those who know the truth, and that doesn't mean, again, that because we know who God is and have a personal relationship that he's going to shield us from this. In fact, it seems to be the opposite sometimes. We are going to be called upon to minister to others around us, whether they are part of our own personal family or a coworker. And it doesn't mean that we have to be preachy and have pat answers. In fact, that sometimes is the worst thing we can do, is that, well, let me tell you why I think you're suffering. I mean, that's what sure. Job's friends did to him, sure. you know, and it was the wrong answer. And but just to be able to come alongside, to be an encouragement, to offer to pray, to better understand the things that people are going through. And we just hope that this will help give a perspective to that, to be a resource for us, that God can use us to be a source of encouragement and just to kind of bolster up, maybe just to sit with somebody and not even say anything, just to be there for them. And so that's what we hope, in addition to helping people personally, to help them so they can help others.
Sometimes the best helpers are people who have suffered because they understand.
Absolutely.
I understand where you've been. And then they're not the ones who are going to be given the advice. They're just going to come alongside somebody and grab their hand and say, I hear you, I understand, or cry with them and right. not really have great words of wisdom. Now, in your book, God is in the Hard Stuff, you take an incredible quote from Ingersoll, when it says happiness is not a reward, it's a consequence. Suffering is not punishment, it's a result. How does that wisdom help us deal with suffering and loss in our lives?
Well, I think, isn't it true it's the American dream to be happy?
Yeah.
You know, and by the way, the Bible doesn't promise happiness. There's an aspect of happiness. It's fleeting. It's momentary. It's, you know, that was a good movie. I'm happier. What a great time we had together. But there's that joy that's more deep-seated. But at the same time, whether it's happiness, joy, whatever we call it, yeah, it's a result of something that does happen with us. And suffering's the same thing. I mean, it is not something we any of us look forward to. I don't think anybody, if you do, probably should seek some help. That, oh, yeah, I need to suffer now. But to realize it's going to happen, not to dread it, but to realize that God will not, as Paul told the Corinthian church, you know, God is not going to give you something greater than you can handle, or that you and I, if we want to say it this way, can handle together. Right. And he's going to give us the faith. And of course, we need to rely on him for that. And I mean, Jim, my experience has been when I try to take the bull by the horns and think I can get through this, I just make it worse. You know, I mean, there are practical things we can do, but we just really have to rely on the Lord and give him time. Right. We want to solve it today. Right, we want this to happen right now and get it done with. But, and I've always found, however long it takes, it seems like that's the right time for something to be processed. I once heard a quote that said, you know, when we pray for things, and we have a chapter on this, when it doesn't seem like God's answering our prayer, but when we pray for things, you know, it seems like when it's all done, you know, even though we had a timetable that was probably much faster than what had actually occurred, we can look to God and say, well, you know what? He's never late. He's rarely early, but he's always on time.
Yeah,
you know, and we don't really see that until we've gone through it and realize,
sure,
you know what, that was the timing for it.
Sure,
I had to experience
that.
Yeah,
and we can't expect it when we're in suffering. Say, this is just wonderful. Truly,
right,
they need to check in someplace to get some help. But the fact is that if you look at your life, you look at my life, you look at our listeners' lives, look back at some of the tough times. We've had some physical challenges with one of our daughters when she was born with a major heart condition.
Mm.
You know, through that tough time, we became better people. I think I'm a better husband to Kathy through that. I think I'm a better father because of going through that tough time. Now, I didn't want to go through that, but that process caused us to become better people. You'll hear people say, I wouldn't want you to have to go through this, but
right,
this is what I learned. And then they deal with their issue. Now, one of the toughest things, of course, in Homeward, we talk about trying to encourage parents and equip parents and give them information and whatnot. You have a quote in your book where you say, a father who isn't emotionally attached to his children isn't much of a father.
Hmm.
I mean, what advice do you have for the dad who really didn't receive that from growing up in their own home?
Right.
And then what do you suggest to the mom who maybe has a husband who's like that?
Well, and it's true. Dads, you know, we're supposed to be the tough ones and, you know, we're the steady influence in the family. And but again, my experience has been there's an emotion there that every dad has. And those that are able to express it and able to just, and it may be tears at times, it may be grief, it may be a lot of different ranges of emotions. But your kids, if it's something that they see visibly in you, is not a sign of weakness. It's really a sign of that strength and really dependence, knowing that I can't do this myself, kids. You know, your mother and I can't do this ourselves. And what a time for teaching. We have to look to God and to see how he is going to get us through this. And again, God's not Mr. Fix-It. You know, maybe we can talk about that, is when things don't turn out the way we've prayed. We prayed for that healing. We prayed for that restoration of the relationship. And when it doesn't happen, then what do we do? Did God fail us, you know? And again, there are clues to that. We don't always have a direct answer. I think we don't always know why. In fact, rarely do we know why God allows the evil or the suffering or the difficulties to happen. But we do know he has a plan for getting us through that. I heard a theologian recently say that his plan was to raise up a people. It started with Abraham, calling him out, and now the church, to call us out of, you know, the culture, if you will, to be people unto himself. And he says, this is the way through, is that you are my people, and together we will get through this.
And that's family. Sometimes we have to look around
right, the
table. You're quoting theologian. I'm quoting Lilo and Stitch. But, you know, Lilo said, we may not be a big family, and we may be broken, but we're our family.
Yeah.
And that's totally a paraphrase.
Mm.
But it is interesting that we've just sometimes got to pull it through. We pull it through with God, and we work together as a family, and we make things happen. Hey, listen, when we come back from the break, I want to talk about finances, because I think that's one of the issues where a lot of people say it doesn't seem fair. I'm working hard, but I'm not able to pay the bills, and we're going from check to check. And I think you got some great advice for us, and actually a very fun quote from Ben Franklin. So we'll have more in just a moment. More to come on Homeward. Don't go away.
It's good to have you here for this conversation. It's not fun to go through tough times. I mean, let's face it, none of us likes that. We don't mind going to the gym and saying, okay, I'm going to work out for an hour and really burn some muscle and fat here and, you know, kind of build the muscle up. And you walk away sore and say, okay, that hurt a little bit, but now I'm going to move on. But when things just come out of nowhere and hit hard, it's tough to find hope when life doesn't seem fair. Hope you're benefiting from this conversation today. And please know how much we benefit from the fact that you let us know that the programs are helping you when you call us at 800-397-9725. When you visit us online at homeward.com, that's letting us know that the ministry is helping you, and we appreciate that. If you can support us with a tax-deductible donation right now, we would really appreciate it. Your gift of $50, $100, even $500 or more if you're able. We appreciate hearing from you when you write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. We'll have the conclusion of Jim's conversation with Stan Jantz on the other side of this break as Homeward continues.
I have to admit that today's Homeward snapshot comes from my personal family album. See if you can relate. Years ago, when I was a church youth worker, one of my staff members confronted me. He said I was manipulating people. Well, I was really frustrated with him. In fact, in my mind, I immediately went straight to his faults and his problems. Well, the more I thought about it, the more I realized he was right. And today, I'm grateful he told me the truth, painful as it was to hear it. The reason I could hear it from him was that he told me the truth in love, and he showed me that he cared enough to confront me with what was really a flaw in my life. Well, that day, he gave me the gift of an honest friendship, and I've never forgotten it. How about you? If you're looking for a way to gauge whether or not the honesty factor in your friendships is where it should be, I want you to take my Truth in Relationships quiz. You can download a free copy from our website at homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward, challenging you to be that adult in the life of your kids.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Stan Jantz with us today. We're just having a great conversation about finding hope when life doesn't seem fair. There are people who are struggling like crazy, but there is hope, and there is hope in every aspect of your life, and God wants to be a part of every aspect of your life, even in your suffering. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. And the scripture says in Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, and then thank him for all that he has done. And that's a great philosophy of what we're talking about today. Stan, before the break, I talked about financial problems. And I think, you know, there were people who might have said, I'm not going to leave my car yet. I need to hear this. Financial problems seem to be a source of a lot of tragedies in the home. Right. And people do struggle with that. And sometimes they probably feel that it's not fair. What role do you think God would play in helping deliver us from these financial tragedies? I love the quote by Ben Franklin that you had in your book, creditors have better memories than debtors.
Well, it is. It can create tremendous stress. I mean, you're the marriage expert, but isn't one of the leading causes of divorce or financial stresses and pressures that can't be resolved?
Absolutely. It's one of the issues. Yeah. And it's because we do a poor job of dealing with finances, right. But also we just don't communicate about it either.
And part of it is, and this is not a probably the right, I mean, it's not the right answer, but it's not the answer maybe you're looking for. But I was recently reading through the Beatitudes, and, you know, in Matthew 6:33, the verse we all quote, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. It's preceded by a couple little, you know, thoughts that, you know, don't chase after, you know, what am I going to wear tomorrow? Am I going to have enough to eat? Am I going to have enough, you know, to get a job like the pagans do? Mm-hmm. Now, doesn't mean that we shouldn't be concerned about these things. We have to be responsible. But when we make that our primary focus, as, you know, are we going to have enough money? Are we going to be able to, you know, have enough for the kids for college? Again, not that we're not practical, but if that becomes our primary focus, we're not focusing on God's kingdom, which is he wants us to prioritize our life around him. And so I think that's probably the first thing. And I found in my personal, you know, experience is that when I focus so much and make that the central, you know, kind of focal point of my marriage or my life, it just doesn't, you never have enough for one thing, and you're just preoccupied with it. So that's the first answer is that at the front end, let's trust the Lord. We'll do, you know, God has given us abilities and let's follow that and be responsible in what we do, but let's not keep that as our primary focus. But when you're in it, you know, you're deep in it and the struggles and stresses and all that. And I think part of it is when it's all stripped away, it's a little bit like the story I shared with you when we had some business issues and thought we could lose our whole business. And you finally realize, okay, if that happens, what do we have left? Well, if all I have left is God and what he's blessed me with in my relationships and other things. That's okay. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to almost get to that point even before those things happen, yes. that if all this is taken away tomorrow, and certainly we've known people that have lost things, whether it's through bankruptcies or whatever, and we have to realize, would that be enough to have God? And I think that's what we have to deal with. And hopefully that is the answer, is that we still have him.
Right. We're playing out before an audience of one in reality.
Exactly.
I have a great friend who lives in Newport Beach and had a $3 million home and mm-hmm. had to give it all up. And it was interesting because we were having breakfast the other day. We were talking about that home, and it was just a gorgeous home. He said, you know, Jim, I love that home. But he said, I'm better off today than I've ever been spiritually. And he said, I made some dumb decisions, right. frankly, about my finances. And I'm not going to include God in on mm-hmm. that because I think he would have told me if I would have been listening not to do it. But he said, you know what? I'm happier. My relationship with my wife mm-hmm. is better. My relationship with my kids are better. Life is simpler. Mm. He had a great perspective on that.
Right.
That it wasn't about the big fancy house.
And we've got to be careful, too, in this, and I'm maybe stepping on some toes here, but the prosperity theology sure. that is pretty prevalent in our culture sure. where you have people saying, you know, if you just give enough, yeah. God will bless you in return. And, you know, there's an aspect that if we withhold from God, you know, we may suffer as a result of that. But at the same time, there's no magic pill or formula that right. says if you just do this, God's going to just bless you abundantly. And his goal is for you to be happy and rich, you know. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is you compare... you know, what we have in this country, and this is the old cliche, to what other people in other parts of the world, and you've traveled widely, and, you know, it's hard for us to say, well, we're just really having difficulty when someone else truly is struggling to find, what am I going to eat, you know, for my next
right.
meal.
Right, exactly. When people are starving and yeah. we're worrying about, should we eat Mexican, Chinese, Italian, what should we do?
But there still is that, and it's very real, that stress that occurs, and I think it's just one of those things that when things are stripped away and all we have is God, that is enough.
Now, we talk about tragedies. Sometimes you can talk about tragedies that just come upon you. An act of God,
right,
if
right.
you would. But there's also some tragedies that we bring on ourselves. We make some really silly mistakes. We really mess up royally. How do we deal with the embarrassment of that kind of a situation?
Well, suck it up and admit it, I guess, is maybe the, yeah. you know, when we make those mistakes, and instead of trying to dig deeper and try to fix it and cover it up and all that, I think is just acknowledging it. And again, we talked about family. I tell you what, with kids, I know in my experience with my kids growing up, they were never more impressed with me than I just admitted that I failed.
Right, right.
You know, we think we've got to put up this front. They know already, you know, who are we fooling, right? And just to admit, you know, I blew it here, kids. You know, maybe something I said or something that occurred that just shouldn't have been that way. And I think it's the first step toward, you know, healing and getting things right. And again, if we've been the one that had been wrong, as we talked about right. at the other program, is to be able to offer that forgiveness yeah. unconditionally, not with any strings attached, but that I forgive you because Christ has forgiven me.
I loved what you all said. You said, own up to it, and God already knows the truth about the situation anyway.
Right, right.
So
who are we fooling?
Exactly. We're only yeah. fooling ourselves. So, right. you know, just simply own up to it.
Right.
What do you say to somebody when things don't turn out the way that you'd hoped? I mean, what you prayed for didn't happen.
You know, this hit me, and there's a chapter we have on this called All Will Be Well. It hit me personally a few years ago with one of my very, very good friends who had a brain tumor, was diagnosed. And it was a very serious brain tumor, and a bunch of us with a couple of pastors went and had a healing, anointing him, as James talks about in chapter 5. If those among you are sick, go with elders and pray for him and heal. And that's the verse, the prayer of an effective person brings about great results. It's all tied together. And I'm thinking, we all left this little group in this healing time in his home, and he was not able to get out at that point even. And we felt, really, this is going to happen. I mean, it was a great sense of expectancy. Well, within 5 weeks, he was gone after that. And I remember going a week before and realizing he was not going to make it short of an absolute miracle. And yes, God, you know, does those still. And my friend Kurt, he is 6'5", but was just, you know, in just with a matter of months, had taken away a lot of his ability to even communicate. I said, and I just blurted out, I said, Kurt, do you feel bad that God didn't heal you? Thinking back, like, oh, this great service we had in his home, you know, should have done the trick. And he looked at me with the most just perplexed expression on his face. What do you mean? Of course God healed me. And I had the perplexed expression on my face thinking, I'm looking at you, buddy. You're not going to make it, looks like, unless something. He says, no, Stan, I am closer to God. I am closer to Jesus now than I have ever been before. He has worked such a miracle in my life. And in fact, when people had come to see him, and by the hundreds, he was well known in the community in my hometown of Fresno, he was the one ministering to others, and they would be the ones leaving like they had been touched, you know, literally by Christ because of the way he was reaching out. And so it just struck me then that, you know what, God's first objective is not to restore necessarily those physical things, whether it's our bodies, our finances, our, you know, our health. Yes, that may happen. We pray for that to happen. But his first objective is always our spiritual healing. And as we've talked, kind of the theme running through this, I think, is that the way that suffering and difficulties bring us closer to God and to his heart. And if that's the result of what happens, then God has accomplished his purpose in allowing that to happen and working that, you know, through us. And that we can truly say, as James says, consider it joy when you encounter trials of many kinds. Yes, it's tragic. Yes, we mourn Kurt's loss. I lost my dad a couple of years ago. And God comforts us. He offers that, and we can come alongside others. Blessed are those who mourn. I mean, it's not a character flaw to grieve. And so even in the midst of realizing that that person is in the presence of Christ, or that this, you know, this loss that we have felt, that somehow we're going to see good out of that, but we still can, you know, can mourn for what happened, and God will come alongside of us and comfort us.
That's a great reminder. Thank you for being with us, Stan, so much.
My pleasure.
And that concludes Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with author Stan Jantz here on the Homeward Broadcast. If you missed any part of our discussion on finding hope when life doesn't seem fair, remember we are always streaming audio at homeward.com. There's no subscription fee involved in that. Just go get the program. It's in the radio broadcast archives. You can also podcast along with us, and that podcast subscription is free as well. We do it through iTunes, but if you want to streamline the process a little bit, go to the radio broadcast section at homeward.com. You'll see a podcast link. Click there. You can set up your account or set up to add to your existing podcasts and get the Homeward Monday through Friday edition delivered right to your MP3 or your iPod. So podcast with us for no cost at all at homeward.com.
Finding hope when life doesn't seem fair has been our topic for the past couple of editions of Homeward. My thanks again to Stan Jantz. What a great guy he is for joining me here in studio both today and last time to discuss really this most important topic. Difficult circumstances are a part of life. We all go through them from time to time. Fortunately, with God's help, we can withstand whatever life throws at us. Well, it's our attitude that plays a significant role in how we hold up when the storms of life hit. But in these closing moments, I want to talk to you about another aspect of dealing with crisis, and it involves distinguishing between whether you are facing a tragedy or just an inconvenience. Here, let me explain. One of the things that I have been trying to teach my girls, and along the way trying to teach myself, is it a tragedy or is it an inconvenience? Now, if it's a tragedy, then, you know, there probably does need to be some drama. You need to work through it. You obviously need to make that happen. But you know what? Most of the things that we do in life, frankly, it's not a tragedy, it's an inconvenience. So when there's an experience going on, one of the great phrases to teach our kids, but also to teach ourselves first, because we've got to put the oxygen mask on us before we put the oxygen mask on our kids, is it a tragedy or inconvenience? And, you know, it's just a theme that, frankly, has been very helpful for me, Roger. You know, I was in a situation a while back where my daughter was in an accident. I found out that she was safe. It turned from a tragedy to an inconvenience. And you know what? It was an inconvenience, but it wasn't the end of the world. It's a fender, not somebody getting hurt. And then when you handle it as an inconvenience, it's just not that big a deal.
It's all in your perspective. And Jim, I know you've said so many times before on the program, I'll echo it one more time. Our circumstances may not change, but our attitude about them can change. And that makes all the difference in the world. And if you're dealing with a difficult time right now as a parent, and perhaps there's a teenager in your world that's just really giving you fits, Dr. Jim Burns has written a couple of books specifically for you. One of them is 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family. Another is Teenology, The Art of Raising Great Teenagers. And Confident Parenting. Well, you can tell the list just goes on. Jim has devoted his whole life to helping parents do a better job of equipping the children in their world to grow up to be not just happy kids, but responsible adults who love the Lord. Now, if you are looking at any of these books and you see them online at homeward.com, when you order one of these books, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. We are a 501c3 tax-deductible organization, not 501c4 political, but 501c3 nonprofit church and parachurch. And you can go ahead and handle that transaction online today at homeward.com.
Thanks, Roger, and thank you for your ongoing prayers and your financial support to make it possible for us to bring you great programs like today's program. Your partnership also enables us to extend the reach of Homeward into areas like our events, publications, online ministries, our daily devotional and monthly parenting newsletter. And if you don't know about that, then I encourage you to go to homeward.com. We appreciate your financial support, especially today. We could use it. And we're not looking just for people to support us once. We want a growing number of people to come alongside the Homeward movement. Let's make a difference in families together. And obviously, you can give us a call. Roger gives the number often. You can go to homeward.com and get all the information you need to become a part of the Homeward financial family in many ways. You're helping us reach out, not just here in the United States, but around the world. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for listening today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.